led by General Electric CEO Jeffrey Immelt. President Obama's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness released a report yesterday suggesting major changes to the U.S. corporate tax code, which they say would stimulate the economy and create jobs. The 27-member body recommends widening the corporate tax base and decreasing rates. It also suggests that the U.S. change to a territorial corporate tax system, which would exempt most taxes on foreign income brought into the U.S. Those council members in support of this argued that currently, to avoid taxation, U.S. corporations invest less of their foreign income in the U.S. than they would like to. Accounting Today reports that not all members agree that this shift will result in an economic stimulus and want safeguards against more tax loopholes. It is not likely, though, that a body led by a General Electric CEO will make significant strides in increasing the corporate tax rate. In the 3 years before Jeffrey Immelt joined the President's Council on Jobs in 2011, GE made over $10 billion in profit, spent $79 million on lobbying, and paid $0 in taxes. GE's tax exploits have landed it on the 2008 to 2010 Dirty 30 list of corporations that spent more money on lobbying than taxes over the three-year period. U.S. PIRG and Citizens for Tax Justice compiled the list as part of their joint report, Representation Without Taxation, Fortune 500 Companies That Spend Big on Lobbying and Avoid Taxes. GE is not the only household name that made it onto the Dirty 30 list. Verizon Communications secured a spot for receiving tax rebates from the government while spending $52 million on lobbying over 3 years. Wells Fargo also rang in a negative tax rate and spent $11 million to influence Congress. PG&E, the energy giant responsible for a natural gas pipeline explosion in Northern California that killed 8 people, is also on the list. From 2008 to 2010, PG&E spent $70 million to lobby Congress, raked in over $4 billion in profit, and paid $0 in taxes. My guest is Blair Bowie. She is the democracy advocate at U.S. PIRG. Welcome to Uprising.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, certainly it's not a new thing that there are plenty of corporations that effectively pay $0 in taxes. How is your report different from other lists of corporations that don't pay much in taxes? You specifically compared taxes to how much is spent on lobbying?
Yeah, so we decided to look at tax rates and lobbying as a cross-section of one area of legislation where corporate power and influence is on full display. The tax code is just riddled with special tax provisions and loopholes that have been won through decades of corporate lobbying. And to me, the fact that 29 corporations can pay less than nothing in taxes while spending almost $500 million on lobbying makes a mockery of both our tax code and our democracy.
Well, the loopholes that these companies use to essentially not pay any taxes, how do you correlate those? I mean, are they directly correlated to how much they spend on lobbying?
Well, you can't make that sort of direct comparison. One thing that we did look at was the actual returns that these corporations got if you compare the lobbying to the tax breaks that they received. And we found in that for every dollar that these corporations spend lobbying, they get $220 back in tax rebates. Now, the system of influence in Washington is a little bit more complicated than that, but this is just one way to look at the issue of corporate power and influence in legislation.
So let's talk about some of these companies. I mentioned General Electric and Verizon and PG&E, et cetera. Who do they spend most of their money on? Are we talking directly into the campaign coffers of members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate? Are there particular correlations you can make or patterns that you can find with one party or another?
Well, it's hard to say because actually campaign contributions and lobbying kind of go across the board and across partisan lines for most of these corporations. To them, it's mostly important that they have the ear of every legislator. And actually, the reason that we put out this report this week was to highlight lobbying and its apparent effect on tax policy close to the second anniversary of the Citizens United decision,
right,
which 2 years ago, the Supreme Court declared that corporations can spend unlimited amounts of money on campaign contributions.
So does this 3 year period that your report covers, does that include, it includes certainly some post-Citizens United lobbying, but the real deluge is probably starting this year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And most of the findings presented in our report largely take place before the Supreme Court's decision, but they indicate the kind of corporate influence that will continue to grow even greater in the absence of reforms or overturning the Supreme Court's decision.
So how is it that you have these corporations then that have representatives on the President's Jobs Council? I mean, the GE CEO, Jeffrey Immelt, is leading President Obama's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness, and they are very high up in your list of Dirty 30. So clearly their goal is going to be to increase and maximize profit, not necessarily to create jobs. So, you know, how much influence, is this also the kind of thing that you are seeing, that the influence that these companies buy in the government lands them such high power positions such as this?
Yeah, and that would be an example of the revolving door that goes on between some of these corporations, these lobbying groups, and the government. Which just increases the access that corporations have and their influence and ability to change legislation and to morph even the activity of the executive branch to gain more profits.
If these companies had been paying the tax rate that corporations are supposed to pay, 35% tax rate, how much money would federal treasury coffers be seeing? How much more money would there be for the president to and Congress to allocate for social services?
Well, if you look at the full 280 companies that we surveyed, if they had paid the statutory 35% tax rate on their profits, they would have paid an extra $223 billion just during this particular three-year period.
$223 billion in taxes.
That's right. Yeah, and when corporations are able to skirt those taxes, of course, it's the ordinary American taxpayers and the small businesses that have to pick up the tab. And we looked at, if you spread out just the taxes that were avoided by the Dirty 30, which is those corporations that spent more money lobbying than they paid in taxes, that actually amounts to an average of $481 per taxpayer that we had to pick up the tab for.
Now, the President's Job Council also brought up the issue of allowing corporations to bring in money that they earn outside the United States without having to pay too many taxes on it. And they're saying that this basically leads to the fact that taxes have to be paid on foreign income, leads to fewer jobs being created. How do you respond to that?
Well, that idea has actually been done before. That's a repatriation of these taxes, that the profits that these corporations have stashed overseas using tax haven schemes. And it just seems ridiculous that it's sort of like rewarding a child for taking candy out of the candy store. You know, they've hidden their profits overseas, so allowing them to bring them back to the U.S. without paying the fair tax rate, it's just not fair.
And how many of the Dirty 30 corporations engage in offshore tax havens, use offshore tax havens to hide their profits?
Well, we found that at least 22 of the corporations of the 30 use offshore tax havens.
That you know of?
Yeah, that we know of, right. That's actually an incomplete picture because the reporting requirements on tax havens are very subpar.
I'm speaking with Blair Bowie, democracy advocate at USPIRG, Federation of State Public Interest Research Groups, incidentally, and we're discussing the Dirty 30 report, which is Representation Without Taxation is the name of the report. Fortune 500 companies that spend big on lobbying and avoid taxes. It seems as though this report is exactly the sort of fodder that social movements that are represented by, for example, the Occupy movement need to make their case about the stranglehold that corporations have on public policy, on government policy.
Yeah, I think that that's entirely right. And one of the reasons that we chose the title, Representation Without Taxation, is to highlight that there is a growing sense in our country that our government is not hearing the voices of ordinary citizens. And the fact that these corporations that are not even giving back to society in the most basic way of paying their taxes have so much say and so much influence is really enraging. And I think it would be great if groups that are feeling that way seize on this report and use it to move the ball forward.
And in your report, do you see a trend in terms of how much money is spent on lobbying? Are we seeing a government that each year is flooded with more and more cash, or does it hold fairly steady?
Yes, certainly. I mean, the cost of lobbying has continually gone up. We've seen in the last 10 years, in 1998, the total lobbying expenditures that were spent was $1.44 billion. And now in 2010, and this was the last year that we have a complete picture for, $3.51 billion was the total amount spent on lobbying. So it's certainly a growing industry.
So what do you want to happen now? I mean, certainly there are major steps being taken by different movements around the country to overturn Citizens United, to even push for a constitutional amendment on that, to overturn the concept of corporate personhood, which would certainly impact the amount of money that corporations spend in government. Are those the kinds of things that U.S. PIRG recommends based on this report?
Well, ultimately, you know, the nature of a Supreme Court decision is that they either will have to come to their senses or we will have to force them to come to their senses by passing a constitutional amendment. I love that there's a movement growing around that. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be able to pass one before the 2012 elections. So I'm looking at certain ways that we can limit corporate influence in this upcoming election. And I have two recommendations for that. The first and foremost is that we need full and honest disclosure around campaign financing. One of the biggest problems with Citizens United is that these new super PACs don't have sufficient reporting standards, so we don't know who's spending money to support which candidate.
And we will be looking at the power of the super PACs in this election as an ongoing part of our election coverage. We've already been covering it. And of course, the South Carolina primary for the GOP is coming up and super PAC money is flooding that. Is an interesting role being played by the by Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert, who has his own super PAC, to make a statement about the role of super PACs. Blair Bowie, where can listeners get more information about the report? Where can they download the report and see it for themselves? It's the kind of thing that might be, you know, to have hard numbers like this might be very useful in the hands of activists.
Yeah, absolutely. I encourage people to go online to USPIRG, that's USPIRG.org. You can download the report there under our tax and budget policy. And we do encourage people to use these statistics and get them out there.
Okay. Well, Blair Bowie, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. And I will link to your website from our site, uprisingradio.org.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Blair Bowie is democracy advocate at US PIRG.